You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If you've been enjoying this podcast and want a super easy way to support it, you can simply find me on YouTube by searching Demon Creep. A subscription is a great help. But if you want to help the longevity of this podcast, my channel offers channel memberships for as low as 99 cents a month. Thank you, and keep enjoying the Demon Creep podcast. Hello, souls and demons, and welcome back to the portal. Today's true stories are focused on close call encounters with psychos. So sit back, lock your doors, and enjoy. Close call in Ocean City. This happened around 2012, but I remember most of what happened clear as day. It's a long read, but a post I read earlier reminded me of this incident with people I never want to run into ever again. I worked with my girlfriend at a busy restaurant. We worked all the time, and it was a stressful job. We took off a few days and decided to fly somewhere to get away from work, people, and the town in general. I found decent deals and flights to Ocean City, MD for 2 nights. She'd never been on a plane. We loved the beach, and I could hit up all the local crab cake spots. It was perfect. We flew into Baltimore and rented a car to drive to OC. Nothing memorable happened the first day. We laid on the beach, hit up all the local shops, and had forgettable food. The second full day, we woke up and went to the most recommended stop for crab cakes. And on the way back, we stopped and got crab cakes to go from two other recommended places for later. We stopped by the hotel to drop the food off and went to the hotel bar for a few drinks. Note, my girlfriend at the time was a smoker and I hated it. She also would attract attention from guys, which I would deal with but wasn't thrilled about. We go to the rooftop bar at the hotel, and the bar itself is a four-sided island in the middle of the patio. It's probably 2 p.m. and a clear sunny day. We pull up chairs and there's only a few women on the left side of the bar, and a guy bartender behind it. We got obligatory house margaritas. After her first drink, my girlfriend felt like she wanted a smoke, but the girls and the bartender didn't have one to bum her. We got refills and schmooze with the bartender about the area and things to do, but mainly kept to ourselves. The bartender seemed as if he was being fake. Something was off and I couldn't put my finger on it. A feeling of, I really don't want to run to the restroom and leave her here at the bar because I don't trust something. More than a few times he asked us if we were staying at the hotel. I think I said no, the girlfriend said yes. He asked us what room at one point. Girlfriend went to use the restroom. A minute later I heard guys' voices. I didn't realize there was a group of 3 to 4 guys that sat at a table directly behind us. They were either playing cards or just smoking. But they made some comment to her when she walked back. Great. We finished our drinks and were Googling tropical drinks for her and area hotspots to check out. The guys came up on either side of us and talked to the bartender and got beers. You could tell they were either friends or regulars. I honestly couldn't tell you if they were there when we came to the bar or came after. But they had a sleazy vibe. Me and the girlfriend ended up talking to the only other couple at the bar that had come and sat down. It was nice to be away and just relax. We always liked making new friends. I didn't realize it, but one of the guys came up and either brushed against my girl or made a comment, and it rubbed her the wrong way. So in her infinite wisdom, she wanted to be bothersome to them and got up and asked to bum a smoke. I didn't realize it until I turned around and there she was, talking to the guy with his shirt unbuttoned, and gold chains hanging on his chest, Herr Forrest. I didn't want her associating with him, but if one gave her a smoke, I would get the guy a beer if it meant we didn't have to leave the bar to hit a store for smokes. She came back without a cigarette, mad. Apparently the guys kept asking, "What's in it for us?" and said, "Your boyfriend wants to fight us, why would we give you anything?" I didn't want to fight them, I was on vacation and I wasn't paying attention to them. But I didn't like the implication of the other comment at all. Because we had a lackluster first day, I wanted to pack in fun things this day, so this drink was my last one. I asked for the tab and the guy of the couple we met gave us his business card. He said we should meet him and his girlfriend at Secrets at 8 p.m. The guys behind us kind of swarmed on all sides of us and slammed down a pack of cigarettes, two smokes inside left, in between both me and my girlfriend. They said something like, "Here," then they ordered another round. We found it odd, but I thanked them and offered a shot. I don't even think they replied. One asked if we were vacationing, then asked if we were staying at the hotel, then took the round of beers back to the table. I had a weird feeling, as if they were locals and didn't like us because we were visitors. Turning back to the bar, my drink was now completely full. Stupid me didn't even question it. I didn't want a refill, but figured the bartender topped me off. I took a sip and the drink was strong. I just closed down, so maybe it was a thank you for the tip? It was disgustingly strong, like rubbing alcohol. Maybe even turpentine. I told my girl to try it. Boozy Susie over here takes a huge pull from my drink and nearly spit it back out. It was gross. She made a face and said that it shouldn't taste like that. I couldn't even ask the bartender about it, he was gone. I don't know when he disappeared, but he was nowhere to be found. I can't remember if I fully finished the nasty thing. My girl said something along the lines of, "The guys are just staring, let's go." I was originally worried she was going to chat them up and thank them before we left, but she said she felt weird. The whole vibe changed, she wanted out. I remember spending a minute or two saying bye to the couple we were going to meet later, and headed towards the doors in the hotel. The guys weren't at their table. Patio door, elevator, hotel room door, and bed. My eyes open and I turn my head right. The alarm clock reads 3 a.m., I am face down in bed, on top of the covers. I push myself up and slide off the bed and stand up. The sliding glass doors are wide open, as are the screen doors to the balcony. There's a breeze. I think, did girlfriend jump off the balcony? And in that millisecond, I hear crying behind me. My girlfriend is sitting Indian style on the floor, with a clamshell of what was $40 worth of crab cakes in her lap, crying. She said she couldn't wake me up. She asked me if I remembered what happened. She said she had been sick and throwing up for 4 hours nonstop. What the hell happened? I bent over to sit down with her and got hit with a wave of sickness. I ran and was in that bathroom for hours, puking. By the time I came out, she was asleep slash passed out again. This had to be a bad dream. I remember thinking that maybe we went to the club and got wasted and I blacked out. I went back to bed. We both wake up at 7 a.m. to our alarms. We had to take the rental to Baltimore and catch a flight back. We both had to be at work at 2 today. I was shaking. She looked like hell. We both felt like death. She was shook. She said the walk back to the hotel room was scary and she didn't remember anything after. Wait, what? According to her, when we walked into the hotel from the bar patio, one of the guys was on a chair near the elevators. He said something to us, but the doors closed quickly. She said when we got to our floor, two of the guys were at the end of the hall, heading towards us. She said that we got into the room and they stood outside the door, and she thinks they knocked. Apparently, I laid on the bed and immediately was lights out. She couldn't wake me and passed out herself until she woke up to violently vomit for hours. My body was shot. I was shaking. And now I'm processing that these scumbags maybe followed us to our room. Part of me thought she was exaggerating, but you know how you have weird slow motion flashbacks? Well, as I was graying out on the way to the hotel room, I remember one of the guys being by the elevator. Also, as she was brushing her teeth, her mouth was blue. I went to the mirror, so was mine. Neon blue. Nothing we had that day was blue. I had light green margaritas and vodka / root beers. This was proof that something fishy had to have happened. We didn't know what to do, we had to get back. We couldn't stick around. We got to the car, I barely felt okay to drive, but I wanted to be home. We felt dirty, we were confused. And we wanted out of MD and swore we were never coming back. We missed our flight, explained the situation to the desk, and somehow got put on another flight back home. We sat in the airport for hours, dying. The flight was painful too. We made it to work a few hours late that day. Nobody believed our story and thought we made it up to justify being late. And we kind of never brought it up again. I googled to see if similar situations happened and found nothing. We googled blue tongue and saw it's a side effect of a drug. I'll be honest, I felt lucky we made it out of OC. I don't know if we were a target of a room invasion or robbery, or if they wanted to attack or kidnap my girl. It could have turned out ugly in a lot of different ways. What if my girlfriend didn't take a huge swig? What if I drank that whole thing by myself? How close did I come to an OD or death, depending on the drug and its interactions with alcohol? I swear the bartender was in on it. I did call the hotel and asked if there were any issues with people being drugged or room robberies, and they said no, they have zero incidents, and I think I let it go. I emailed the hotel from a throwaway email I created and told them to watch the hotel roof bar and bartender, and never got a reply. I realize I wrote a ton, but that's my story. And I think about it anytime someone brings up OC. My run-in with a murderer, close call. My skin crawls thinking about this guy. He saw me shopping for school supplies and things for my new apartment one evening during my first week of grad school, and decided I was his mark. I had just moved to my new college town. Didn't even have a cell phone yet after leaving the one my folks paid for during undergrad behind. I was grown and could take care of myself. Eye roll. What a nitwit I was. As I left the parking lot with my purchases, I noticed this truck pull up behind me at the exit. It was late and there weren't too many people out. I pulled out and so did he. It was a few miles down a long retail street with lots of stoplights before my turn. As I drove, I realized the guy in the truck was trying to get my attention. I was in a relationship, so I ignored him. Over the next few miles, he kept trying to get me to look at him. Some red lights he would end up ahead of me, some behind or beside. At every light he positioned himself so he could stare at me, either directly or in one of his mirrors. His gaze was unwavering, and my anxiety rose. He was driving oddly, speeding up close to my bumper, hitting his brakes when he was in front of me, swerving close to my car a couple of times. Finally, at a red light where he was beside me, I glanced over and absolutely started to panic when I was met with an unbelievably empty, unwavering stare and realized he was fiddling with himself. He was getting off on the fact that I was terrified, and he was following me, and he was trying to force me to pull over. At one point, I scooted through an intersection on a hard yellow, a couple of cars ahead of him, thinking I could shake him. Nope. He went around the cars at the light and ran the red, and got back in front of me. A freeway entrance ramp came up and I tried to fake him out by putting on my signal and getting into the merge lane for it. He took the bait and started up the ramp. I quickly got out of the merge lane and continued straight. Again, I'd hoped to lose him, but he drove his truck down the embankment to keep following. At another light, there he was beside me. I pulled through the light and then turned at the last possible second. He made a U-turn and ran another red to follow me. My panic really ramped up at that point. With no cell phone, no sense of direction, and a new city, I really didn't know what to do. So I turned on classic rock and forced myself to sing along. And forced myself to go the speed limit so I wouldn't crash out of terrified stupidity. I decided to drive to the supermarket across town because I remembered it had a police station in it. He followed me all the way there. He burned out of the lot as soon as he saw all the cop cruisers parked out front. I filed the report and asked for a police escort home. I insisted because something told me this creep was waiting for me to leave the police station. He was. As soon as I pulled out, I saw him. I pulled over and told the officer following me and he went after him, but the truck had taken off and the cop couldn't catch him. The police got the surveillance video from the first store. It turned out this jerk had been dogging me the entire time I was shopping. I saw him on surveillance footage following me through the store. I saw him follow me out, close enough to grab my elbow. I saw footage of him circling the lot in his truck waiting for me to pull out when I took too long to unload my cart. My heart sank. I was able to remember 6 or 7 digits of his plate and then the make and model of his truck. In the end, the cops did nothing. They said it was a he said, she said, and since the surveillance video didn't catch him doing anything particularly unlawful, and it was a losing case to try and charge him with anything. I ended up trading vehicles with a friend for a couple of months to try to feel safer and went on with my life. I had no idea what this disgusting piece of shit did just a handful of months later, until almost 15 years had passed. I was watching a Discovery ID show about the kidnapping and murder of Sandy Jeffers. I almost fell out of my seat when I saw the mugshot of her killer, Aaron Lee Skeen. It was him. I was so disgusted that law enforcement did nothing in my case, and after verifying some things about his vehicle that were changed in the TV reenactment to weed out people making crap up, she took my contact info and official statement. She could neither confirm nor deny that my run-in was Skeen, but qualified her statement by saying, "At least you don't have to worry about him anymore because he got life without parole." I only wish something could have been done when he terrorized me. Perhaps things would have been different for Sandy. So yeah, creepy murderer, stalker, crazy dude. Let's not ever meet again. My run-in with a murderer, close call. My skin crawls thinking about this guy. He saw me shopping for school supplies and things for my new apartment one evening during my first week of grad school, and decided I was his mark. I had just moved to my new college town, didn't even have a cell phone yet after leaving the one my folks paid for during undergrad behind. I was grown and could take care of myself. Eye roll. What a nitwit I was. As I left the parking lot with my purchases, I noticed this truck pull up behind me at the exit. It was late and there weren't too many people out. I pulled out and so did he. It was a few miles down a long retail street with lots of stoplights before my turn. As I drove, I realized the guy in the truck was trying to get my attention. I was in a relationship, so I ignored him. Over the next few miles, he kept trying to get me to look at him. Some red lights he would end up ahead of me, some behind or beside. At every light he positioned himself so he could stare at me, either directly or in one of his mirrors. His gaze was unwavering, and my anxiety rose. He was driving oddly, speeding up close to my bumper, hitting his brakes when he was in front of me, swerving close to my car a couple of times. Finally, at a red light where he was beside me, I glanced over and absolutely started to panic when I was met with an unbelievably empty, unwavering stare and realized he was fiddling with himself. He was getting off on the fact that I was terrified and he was following me and he was trying to force me to pull over. At one point, I scooted through an intersection on a hard yellow, a couple of cars ahead of him thinking I could shake him. Nope. He went around the cars at the light and ran the red, and got back in front of me. A freeway entrance ramp came up and I tried to fake him out by putting on my signal and getting into the merge lane for it. He took the bait and started up the ramp. I quickly got out of the merge lane and continued straight. Again, I'd hoped to lose him, but he drove his truck down the embankment to keep following. At another light, there he was beside me. I pulled through the light and then turned at the last possible second. he made a U-turn and ran another red to follow me. My panic really ramped up at that point. With no cell phone, no sense of direction, and a new city, I really didn't know what to do. So I turned on classic rock and forced myself to sing along, and forced myself to go the speed limit so I wouldn't crash out of terrified stupidity. I decided to drive to the supermarket across town because I remembered it had a police station in it. He followed me all the way there. He burned out of the lot as soon as he saw all the cop cruisers parked out front. I filed the report and asked for a police escort home. I insisted because something told me this creep was waiting for me to leave the police station. He was. As soon as I pulled out, I saw him. I pulled over and told the officer following me, and he went after him, but the truck had taken off and the cop couldn't catch him. The police got the surveillance video from the first store. It turned out this jerk had been dogging me the entire time I was shopping. I saw him on surveillance footage following me through the store. I saw him follow me out, close enough to grab my elbow. I saw footage of him circling the lot in his truck waiting for me to pull out when I took too long to unload my cart. My heart sank. I was able to remember 6 or 7 digits of his plate and then the make and model of his truck. In the end, the cops did nothing. They said it was a he said, she said, and since the surveillance video didn't catch him doing anything particularly unlawful, and was a losing case to try and charge him with anything, I ended up trading vehicles with a friend for a couple of months to try to feel safer and went on with my life. I had no idea what this disgusting piece of shit did just a handful of months later, until almost 15 years had passed. I was watching a Discovery ID show about the kidnapping and murder of Sandy Jeffers. I almost fell out of my seat when I saw the mugshot of her killer, Aaron Lee Skeen. It was him. I was so disgusted that law enforcement did nothing in my case, and after verifying some things about his vehicle that were changed in the TV reenactment to weed out people making crap up, she took my contact info and official statement. She could neither confirm nor deny that my run-in was Skeen, but qualified her statement by saying, "At least you don't have to worry about him anymore because he got life without parole." I only wish something could have been done when he terrorized me. Perhaps things would have been different for Sandy. So yeah, creepy murderer, stalker, crazy dude. Let's not ever meet again. Guy waiting in the bushes, let's not meet. It was probably only after my close call that my mind really started to run away with what could have happened were it not for my dog. I'm a 26-year-old female. I live with my fiancé, my 2 cats, and my dog, Rowan. Our house is literally less than a minute away from a huge farmer's field that is frequented by many dog walkers at all times of the day. Me and my SO often take turns walking Rowan around the field throughout the day. It was only around 7:30 p.m., and it was still really bright and sunny. Rowan was letting me know it was time to go for a walk, so while my partner was tinkering in the garage, I grabbed his lead and headed to the field. Let me quickly tell you about Rowan. He's a 2-year-old Rottweiler who is very loving and playful, if a little daft, but would not hurt a fly, not a bad bone in his body. He is also extremely well trained. We made sure to put the effort in as he's a big dog breed with a bad rep, so wanted to make a good point of not feeding stereotypes. I'm very much of the opinion of there's no bad dogs, just bad owners. Unfortunately, we've had some run-ins with some not-so-good dog owners, so Rowan gets a little nervous when meeting new dogs and people, but we're working on it. Anyway, back to the story. We are walking around the farmer's field. Rowan is off sniffing and peeing on every blade of grass in sight. I always keep an eye out for other walkers anyway due to Rowan being a little nervous, and I clocked a guy on his own walking down the path towards me fairly far away. At first I thought nothing of it, as plenty of people walked this route without dogs. We were just coming out of lockdown in the UK. As the guy got closer, I noticed he was in a full tracksuit with the hood up, which was odd as it was like 23 degrees, so shorts and t-shirt weather. He then took a small path off the field leading through some bushes. It was a public-made shortcut rather than an official public footpath, but it was well enough used so I kept walking, thinking nothing of it. At about 15 meters away from the path he took, Rowan shot back to my side, immediately dropping the mouthful of dirt he'd been pretending not to eat. He's not the smartest. I petted him and noticed he was standing super alert, staring at the path entrance. When I looked up, I caught a glimpse of the man peeking around the edge of the bushes that concealed the entrance. I stopped dead in my tracks, and Rowan's fur was stood on end as he positioned himself in front of me. It took me a second to realize that this man had been watching and waiting in the bushes for me to approach. My current route would have meant I'd be walking right by the path's opening. My stomach dropped as I realized we were the only ones around on that field. I had this weird moment where I was almost trying to convince myself that I was overreacting. But then the guy whistled. Not a wolf whistle, but as if to try and get my dog to come to him. Rowan was having none of it though, and I definitely took that as my cue to trust my stranger danger instincts. I immediately turned and walked back the way we came, simultaneously pulling my phone out and dialing my partner's phone number. I ended up having to clip on Rowan's lead on him to get him to walk with me, and he was not taking his eyes away from the path. He was even growling a little, which was so out of character and put me on edge even more. I glanced back and the man had edged slightly out of the bushes, watching me walk away. My partner answered the phone after a few rings. I was only halfway through stammering out of the story, and he was already sprinting up to the field to meet me, telling me to stay on the phone but keep an eye on the man. The man in the tracksuit now fully came out of the bushes and just stood staring at me, walking away. I dared a quick look away from him towards the entrance to the field to see my fiancé jogging towards me. He was relieved I was okay, but was also immediately pointing and shouting, "Is that him?" Clearly furious at what this man might have had in mind had Rowan not picked up on him hiding in the bushes. I eventually convinced my fiancé not to confront him, as he was still stood staring, almost taunting us. You never know what people might be capable of or have concealed. We came off the field and took Rowan on a different path, which he was more than happy about. I've never been so proud of Rowan for stepping up and protecting me. Safe to say, he got plenty of treats and fussing when we got home. So, creepy man in the bushes, let's not meet. Thanks for listening to Demon Creep Podcast. Don't forget to support the podcast by following it. The best things you can do is head over to my YouTube channel, Demon Creep, and drop me a subscription and a couple of views. Sharing my podcast or YouTube channel with your friends is a great help. Remember, growing is easier when you do it together. Until next time, this is Demon Creep, signing off.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.